Day, for this day that we live in, this era of time, this generation, Father, that is fast closing up now for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we look forward, O Lord, truly. We pray for His coming quickly, Lord. Because the world, Father, it goes on in the direction it is going, Lord, is killing a lot of people. Death are just about everywhere in many nations, O Lord. But we thank You for this place that we have, that is peaceful, that we have a place to worship and to fellowship. But we remember, O Lord, the saints that are in trouble, in troubled land, Lord, in Syria, even in Russia, and even, O Lord, in the Middle East, Israel, Lebanon, and many other places also in Africa, Sudan, Somalia, and even in some part of India as well, Lord. We ask for Your grace, Father, to keep them. Places even in Pakistan and Afghanistan, so Lord, where the churches are exposed, O Father, to destruction by terrorism, Lord. We ask that You, Your grace, O Lord, Your Spirit, watch over those that are Yours. And give them a way of escape, Father. The Lord, they may continue, O Lord, to glorify Thy name, to stand for the truth, and even be a martyr if necessary. And yet here we are, Lord, our life. Help us look at our life, Lord, Lord, whether we are worthy truly of the gospel of Jesus Christ in us. Lord, we ask for Your grace today. Now teach us Thy word, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And if you have, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. All right, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And verse 11 to 16. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, 11 to 16. This is Paul's epistle to the saints in Corinth, a church that is very carnal. But still, Paul considered them as a whole, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, among them, there are those that are very carnal, and those that probably are very confused as well. So here in chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2, 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teached, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is a judge of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now the talk today I want to speak of is spirituality. Now it's a word, of course, we all know, yeah, we seem to know. spirituality. But what on earth is spirituality? Things that pertain to spirit, things that pertain to the things that are of God, the thing that belongs to the heavenly realm. But today, if you look at Christian, now, what Paul is talking about here, he's talking about individual, the mind that we have. What mind do you possess? Because Christian today, I was just there in the bookstore there, you know, and just look at before I came in, talking to the man, the bookseller, and a little talk with him, and he was asking me about our fellowship. So I told him the truth, because he opened up the subject. So I had a little testimony for him and witness to him about where we stand. And I opened up to him about the subject about Christianity, how Christians behave today, the organization, and he was pretty surprised. He said, "Can I have some of your books?" So I'm giving him some of the books. You see, a lot of things which people, many times, generally, 99.9% of the Christians that goes to church, people that go to churches, they practically do not know the Bible. Because why? How do people read the Bible? They would probably take the book and buy a book and read the book. They don't look into the Bible. You see? And so this is a fact of life. And we need to realize this. If this Bible is of any value to us, and we should be, after all, we are Christians. We are people who say we love the Lord. So if that be true, then this Bible, this volume of book that you hold in your hand, unfortunately, it's just a book in that size. If it was back then, you probably have to carry all those scrolls with you. You know, it's today's technology that we are able to have this Bible in this form. And we can hold it, we can read it. But many times I have encouraged you to read it. Study it. You know, for that is eternal life that you are looking at. But as I said, 99% or 99.9%, just put in 99, perhaps it's better. To give a little more leeway to a little more majority of people, a little fewer more. Are people who, 99% of people, don't actually know their faith. Do you know your faith? So yes, I know I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and this and that. And, you know, but beyond that, the Bible is not just about the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you and that's it. You know, if that is so, we only need the book, the Gospel of John. You know how the people have gone out? Just the Gospel of John. We just need that. We don't need the book of Genesis, the Revelation. Just the book of John would do it. You see. You know, here we are talking about spirituality. But the other side is people who think that they are spiritual. Are they really spiritual? Or are they in the spirit of bondage? That's my subject today. But when we come to the spirit of bondage, what holds a person? He goes to church, he says, "Yes, I'm a Christian." What church do you go to? I go to this Baptist church, my mother goes to this Baptist church, my father goes to this Baptist church. What do you know about truth? Just what the Baptist church teaches us. You know. And sometimes you are talking a little bit more about the Bible, some certain subject, they are really lost in it. And I believe there are some of you here that are just the same. Now this, I'm not saying this to rebuke you or put you to shame or put you down, but to let you realize that's what Paul was trying to get across to the people. As a Christian, this life is not just saying, "I'm a Christian, I go to church, I give my tithe, and wow, I'm going to heaven." There are more to it just than that. The life that you live, the mind that you have. You see. Some people are caught up in a tradition. And tradition of the church puts you in bondage. Now look at some of the Adventists. They are so much about the law, the Sabbath. They cannot do without the Sabbath. If I'm talking to a Jew, then I understand, because he is a Jew. He is blinded to the truth of who Christ really is. That he is the Messiah to them. You know. And when he talked to a charismatic, many of them said, don't talk about doctrine. Doctrine is divine. You know. And they were saying, don't talk to me about woman preacher. I know God bless me. My father is a multi-millionaire, billionaire, zillionaire. That's why I know that when I claim I have it. And so they go to that direction, the mind is set. That's religion. That's religion for you. And some people are, well, they say they're Christian, but they're caught up by a spirit of fear. You know that, don't you? And fear is one of the greatest forces in the life of people that destroys people. They became slave to a system. Slave to whatever that holds them. And you know that is true particularly with the Muslim extremists. They put fear upon the woman. They beat up the woman. Put them on how they should dress in a veil and a buckwat. I don't know how you pronounce that word. Buckle or no, how different people pronounce different. You know how they cover themselves from head to toe with just a slit for their eye. All these are slaves, and they're not supposed to have education. If they don't cook well, the men could slap them. And things like that. It's really very sad. And what about in Christianity? Well, of course, this is not found. But in some Celtic extremia, you have that under Jim Jones and David Koresh. Back in those 80s and 60s and 80s, this thing happens. In America, in South America, you know. Anyway, what have over there in India? Glory be to Krishna. All the anti-message movement too. People looked to him as if he was the incarnate Jesus. Because he claimed to do miracles. And he did. For what I was told, disciples have laughed him and saw him do miracles that you couldn't believe with your own eyes. And people from America, Canada, sold their property, sold their houses, and they moved all the way to India, Delhi, and stayed there in the ashram. You see, there are a lot of things that people are caught up with in the spirit of bondage. They don't realize it is that they're under a spirit of fear, tradition. Just like in any, Catholicism is one of them. If you leave the mother church, you're going to purgatory. They put this fear in you if you don't go to confession. You know, in South America, there's a lot of Catholics there. And many of these Catholics are men with tattoos and all this. They are drug runners. They're killers. They can do all that and they go to confession box and they confess and they're okay. Because why? The priests themselves are being paid the money. These are facts of life. And what about corruption in the churches today? Are people spiritual or are they caught up in their own desire and they control the people, especially the preacher, control the people in the spirit of fear and this and that? Anti-message, ETM. Say what Brother Branham said. Or you're not a believer. You're not going to make the rapture. Everybody have their own opinion about anti-message. Well, lots of people have another way is to follow the crowd. The bigger the crowd, it must be true. Like our popular pastime in the food court. The bigger the queue, it must be good food. Is that not what it is? Your size up by the size of the queue. Or the size of an organization, the bigger it is, must be solid, must be strong. Yes. Huh? I remember the time there was advertisement that new in the television about a bank, big, strong, and friendly. They showed a big Bengali man. He said, how many remember that advertisement? Big, strong, and friendly. It's about a bank. Big, strong, and friendly. So they always use this big Bengali man, you know, big, strong, and friendly. So you people look at that. Everything is about size and quantity of people. But we look at the Bible, we see that there is always the minority of believers that are actually adhering to the truth, that follow the Lord. Because God add, not by multiplication. The Church of Christ increased, not by multiplication, not by addition. God add by subtraction. Do you ever realize that? Look into what happened over of the 12 spies. 12 went in. How many? Were cut down to two, only two. And those that did Gideon, the army, they wanted to join Gideon in the battle. And God said, put them to a test. There are too many. And he sized down to 300. How many did Jesus have? Thousands. But when he began to tell the truth, I'm my father one, and I talk, when he talks about doctrine, they don't want to hear it. That's just too much. You call yourself what? God? So they size down. And when Jesus told his disciples, are you going away from me too? Peter said, no, where can we go? You have the word of eternal life. That's a wise man. Where can you go? But to the word of God. Because that's the eternal life. Don't be afraid to step out of a system. Don't be afraid to step out of what you know is not true. But there's so much fear out there in the churches and even in the end time messages. And I tell you one thing, that God does not work with a group of people. Decision is not consensus. Oh, everybody tell consensus, okay, so many of you, okay, there must be true. Then I'll agree to do it. No. God deals with individual. And you need to have a revelation, an understanding of the truth of God's word. Not because I said so, not because I teach so. Not because Brother Branham said so, not because he teaches so. You need to have a revelation. The brilliant are so wise. Not because Paul said so. Because of what is in the scripture. Is it not true? Now every time when you are talking to a friend of mine, you just put me in the state where you just wonder, it's just so chaotic. You dare to judge the prophet? I said, what do you mean by I'm judging the prophet? You don't believe everyone. He said you must go to the Bible and check it up. I said, yes, sir. Peter Palm commended the billion. And did not Brother Abraham say the same thing? If what I preach is not in the scripture, don't you believe it? How come all these people are so dumb and so foolish? Because why? They are not spiritual. And that's a fact. It's just a religious feeling. They're having a religion. What religion are you having? I want an old time religion. That one that drives me to my knees, and the one that drives me to the Word of God and check it out for truth. Not the one as Pentecostal people used to say in the early 20th century, and what charismatic are saying now. All the joy, all the jumping, and the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, that's the old time religion. It isn't. It's a lot of emotion. So don't let emotion run wild. Just look at the scripture here again. Verse 11 says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God know no man but the Spirit of God. So now, you have a spirit. Job said that in one of his plays where he said, there's a spirit in the man. There's a spirit in you and me. And he says, what man know the things of a man? Can I know anything about you inside? What you are thinking? What's in your mind? I can't. Only you yourself know yourself. So the same thing here, Paul trying to say, sincerity. You can say, I'm sincere with you, Brother Gam. But you tell me that because I don't know your mind. Because in your mind you said, might be saying, in your own heart, Brother Gam is a sucker. I'm telling him that I'm sincere with him, but I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? That's what all about the mind of a man. I don't know what you're thinking right now. You're sitting here, your mind may be thinking about going home and eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's your mind. I don't know about your mind. Except you yourself knows about what's in you. So what kind of spiritual man or woman you are, you should know yourself. You understand? And the things of God, no man except the Spirit of God Himself, the mind of God, it belongs to Him. Until He reveals to you. Verse 12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, God. Now sometimes we need to understand that when we say we in the Bible, the apostles are not talking about all the people in the church. Sometimes he's talking about we as we, the apostles. Alright? You all get what I'm saying? A lot of people don't seem to realize that. So we need to understand what Paul is saying right now. Here is a group of believers that are, well, carnal. And Paul cannot include them as we if they are carnal. You understand? We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the thing that freely given to us of God. And how does the gospel come to the people? It came first to the apostles and then disseminated down to the people. Which thing also we speak, not in the word which men wisdom teaches, like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, Paul is talking about, but which the Holy Ghost teach concerning spiritual things, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That Paul is saying, we, the apostles, have the mind of God. The Spirit of God was freely given to us, to show us. And now he said that which thing we are speaking to you are not in the words of man's wisdom. Like the Pharisee, the Sadducee, maybe Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul, he talks like, you know, how all about the system, the tradition he was taught, and so he taught like that. That is the wisdom of the world. Like Brother Andrew was telling me about how that he had this little book cars with this two theologians, one a woman, because, you know, he was asked to appear, have a discussion on the radio broadcast about woman preacher. So these two theologians, they were from very charismatic, of course. The woman has this degree, that degree, he was trying to intimidate Brother Andrew Peel. He said when they were out there waiting for the radio broadcast to be ready, they were sitting out there in the waiting room, and a woman approached him and said, you know, I have this degree. What do you have? Brother Andrew said, I have nothing. Huh. And even the person who owns the radio broadcast, if I remember right, he told me that he is also charismatic. They're supposed to have two sessions, but that session on that day, people are supposed to call up after discussion. The call never reached them. It was blocked. And the second session never was there. The producer said, yes, we will have it in the future. Why? They cannot accept the truth that the woman preacher is never ordained by God in the churches. You see? So, that woman and the theologian came to him, of course, just like, you know, all this in the past, they came to me and wrote me. And even against my doctrines of the original sin, the Bible, what is that, Bible Institute, I can't remember that, in Newton. What is the name of that Bible College? Bible Institute. You know, it's a Presbyterian one. Big. And I received a copy of their, a student who was studying to be a preacher, writing against what I wrote, against Brother Branham, and misquote everything out of context and twisted it. And I wrote back to the dean and also to the student. I said, if you want to discuss, let us have a discussion. But don't twist words and present it. No reply came. You see, that's the worldly wisdom of man. Paul said, I don't come to you anymore with wisdom of man. Paul considered all his education as dung. That's why he said, not what man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teached. Comparing spiritual thing with spiritual. Comparing spiritual thing, conferring spiritual thing, discussing spiritual thing with spiritual man and woman. Now Paul can never teach. You know, Paul talks about when time when you need to be matured by now, after so many years, yet you're still a baby, still drinking milk. How can I impart to you spiritual thing? How can I talk with you spiritual thing? How can I discuss with you spiritual thing and make you to understand what this is and what that is? Only the spiritual man will understand the things of God. The thing is, are you spiritual or are you just religious? When you talk about what, well, that's what my church teaches, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, baptism, Trinity. Yeah. So how can you teach? So when somebody talks like this to me, that's enough. I'm not wasting my time. Because the man is not spiritual. You can't cast the pearls before swines. And that's why we need to be spiritual to understand what God is doing even in this time. But the natural man receive not the thing. Or the natural man welcometh not the things. They don't want to receive, they are not welcome. They don't welcome the spiritual things of God. The things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Can you tell somebody the truth about God's thing? God's truth? They find. You know, they say, Or even if you try to preach the gospel to even a sinner, sometimes look to you and say, you're dumb, dumb. You know, my dental surgeon, I discussed with him a few times, and, you know, to him, he doesn't know anything, he doesn't believe in any religion. He says, I don't know. You know. He believed that he died, he just said. So you certain people, you just don't have the insight. And that is very true, because why? God did not come, Jesus did not come to save everyone. Though he died for everyone, he did not come to save everyone. Right? He said, I come to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And later on, because they refused to see God blind them for a little while, and then he turned to the Gentile. And so the Gentile have lost sheep too in the nations of Gentiles. Is it right? Sure. Christ made an atonement. He died for the sins of the world. But he's certainly not saving everybody. You see. Alright, let's continue. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They can only understand those the spiritual thing by a spiritual man who can understand the spiritual things of God. You cannot simply say, I understand. But he that is spiritual judges all things. And that's what we all should be doing. That's what Brother Mike should be doing. Judge all things not by the standard of what Brother Branham preached, but by the standard of God's word. The same thing goes for the Baptist. You don't judge all things by the Baptist standard, by the charismatic standard. Now when I said that, the Brother Mike don't like it. So everything about Abraham said is the Bible. The Bible is all that's in the message. You see how they have this kind of a logic to equate? It did not the denomination equate. In the beginning was the Word, as in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with the Word, or with God, and the Word was Jesus. You know how they're talking about the Trinity? You don't equate words like this. I don't have to go to Bible school to learn all this. You know why my Bible school is? On my knees. That's the way that God deals with people. Not in semantic, in a Bible college. You see. He that is spiritual judge all things. Let he himself be judged, but yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? You Corinthians, with all your confusion, your carnality, who will instruct you? But we, the apostles, have the mind of Christ, and we will instruct you. Cometh the word, as Paul in other places, cometh the word out from you, or it comes unto you. That's the problem in the entire message. The denomination. Everybody thinks that they are preaching, just because they know something. The Bible says, you are witnesses unto me. You are not apostles unto me, all of you. You see the difference? People meant well, yes, I want to do a lot, I want to do service for God, this and that. Yeah, I know you want to do service. But you need to understand the word. And you need to know where your position lies in. If God did not call you, don't try to be a preacher. You can be a witness, you can be an exhorter, you can share. Or to try to teach the deep things of God, be careful. You need to have the mind of Christ as portion. Paul taught at one time, before he knew Christ, he thought that he knows a lot of things. Huh? He knew a lot of things, wasn't he? Now I'm the Pharisees of Sanhedrin and blah, 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 the tribe of Benjamin. Well, he got all the degree, huh? Right? He traced himself back all the way to the tribe of Benjamin. Wow. Where do you trace your lineage to? I trace mine all the way to Abraham. You know, you cover all this degree and all this position. But then when he realized, when he met Christ, everything turned around. Paul, you know nothing. You think that you do a service, but you are actually destroying me. Yes, you are fighting against me. I'm the one you said you love, but you didn't even understand. No wonder Jesus Christ said in the volume of book is spoken of me. It's written of me. And yet the Pharisees don't even understand. Alright, now let's go to the next verse in chapter 3. Okay, let's go and read. No, let's go to verse 1, chapter 2. Just look at it at some point here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, God's strength, and that is to say God's strength, God's wisdom, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So don't look at me, Paul said, in my wisdom of a man, no. Look at it in the wisdom of God. How be we speak wisdom among you that are perfect? Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the prince of the world that come to naught. Not the prince of the world, the power, whatever leader. Huh? One of the great princes of the world today, who is it? They have been going around, and recently was in the Philippines, and there was none other than the Pope. That's the prince of this world. There are other princes of this world too. There are many different leaders in the Celtic churches. They come and try to use their own wisdom. And it says, because in the verse 6, how can we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? You're not the wisdom of the world, not the princes of this world that come to naught. Sure, they will just go away. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. That's one thing that we need to understand. Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. And that is one thing that people do not understand, because things that what Paul talked about, actually sometimes you wonder what Paul is trying to say. Because they are all in mystery form. And you need to study, and that's why God did. God had Paul spoken that way and had it written in scripture in the same way. God doesn't want to feed you all the time. God wants you to digest. It's not a baby cannot take solid food. But when he starts to grow, the baby does need to take solid food as he grows. You know. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Obviously, if the princes of this world, speaking about the Pharisees and all these great men, this prince, this ruler, if they have understood, would they crucify Christ? They wouldn't. And there's one thing about this. Even the wisdom of the world, the prudence of a man in the world, God cannot open your mind to understand His truth. You know that, don't you? What did Jesus say when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? How you pray to God, you have revealed those things to the babe and such that we learn, right? But you are hidden from the wise and the prudence of the world. If you think you know, then I tell you one thing, you really do not know. When people speak more than hearing, they are not learning. When you hear, remember, listen. The hearing is quite different from listening. And when you have listened and you understood, you study. Simple thing. Hear, read, study. Alright. Verse 9. For it, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor yet heard, not have entered into the heart of man, but the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. God has prepared the things for those who love Him. Not for everybody. But God has revealed them unto us, the apostles, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See? Chapter 3. Verse 1 to 6. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe. Now, carnal men are not natural men. Natural men is natural men. Huh? The carnal is where there is all this spirit that is thinking, the mind is thinking, it's completely wrong. Natural men is normal people walking around, need to eat food and all that's natural. But the carnality is the wisdom of the world, the thing that opposes the spiritual things of God. That's carnality. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Because your mind are all twisted up, thinking about this, thinking about that. Oh, but the Bible said there is a Father, there is a Son, there is a Holy Spirit. One, two, three. It must be three. So why are you saying that there is only one? And Jesus is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Why you are saying that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And the book of Genesis said that Eve partook of the fruit, and you're telling me that it was about the serpent and the Eve having some sexual intercourse. He said that mind is really calm. It's all based on the reasoning of semantic, looking at word, looking at the verse, looking at the word, instead of the overall pictures. And this is why I don't recommend commentary books. That's the reason why I don't believe in interpreting the scripture verse by verse. And I always have defined how you look at a truth. If a thought is short, the chain of word that you create a sentence or two. But if the thought is complex or more, then you cannot. But you have to write maybe a big paragraph on a page. Because the thoughts are complex or more, so you have to write all this down, and you have to look at the whole as one unit. Got it? And that's where we come to this problem that Brother Andrew preached on last Sunday. When you look at the message being preached, what are you looking at? What are you hearing? When we look at Brother Abraham's messages, the sermon he preached, about 2,000, so far as I know about the tape that were collected, I have to say this, that every sermon, every message that were preached, every message that was preached, they were preached in its context. They were preached correctly in its own context. You need to know the theme of what is being preached. You get what I'm saying? But if you want to find fault with any statement, you can find. Right? So that's the reason why when we talk about when the person, the lecturer gave a lecture, he had a thing he spoke about. So he need to know what he's thinking. But if he went off track to something else, well, that's just something extra that he's trying to say. Well, right or wrong, he's not being in contact with this whole frame of the message or the lecture. And this is what Brother Abraham used to do. When he talked about certain subjects, sometimes he drifted off to give an illustration, and when he went someplace else, and then came back to stay on the line of thought. And that's why when he preached about the seal, always telling the people, when he preached the seal, stay with the seal. Because what? When Brother Abraham talked about the seal, when he went over to the 70th week of Daniel, and he said, 3.5 years, 3.5 years, 3.5 years. And people are lost in that. Right? How many years left after the rapture? It's 7. But in the seal, it says 3.5. Go to his book, his teaching on Daniel. His thought was there. And it's 7. That's because in the seal, when he blew up, and then, you know, his mind may be on something else that he was talking about. And then he said, 2.5. The great tribulation. And then everybody is lost in that. The subject is the seal. Stay with the seal. It doesn't matter whichever direction other thing is. Stay on the seal. Focus on what the seal is all about. You know. All right, let's go on the next finish that about that chapter. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For why one said, I'm a Paul, and another Apollos, and yet ye are not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? A minister of whom we believe, of whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I plant, Apollo watered, but God gave the growth. So you see, the carnality is like that, that has started. You see, there are those brethren who associated with us here. Those brethren who associate with us. That Brother Ice, Brother James Veramon, Brother Elsa, and all these others, different places. But when they began to minister the word and share with them, and some people say, I believe that is Brother Gann's teaching. So you are a Gannite. You know, very strangely, you know. And that's why I told this brethren, don't ever mention my name. Don't quote me. Quote Brother Branham. Quote Luther. Quote Wesley. Quote anybody you like, but don't quote my name. Because when you quote me, that means you do not know the word. Show them the word. And that is exactly what Brother Orsel did one time when he went to Davao and shared with some of the ministers there about the Godhead. And while I was sharing all that, then one man said, that's Brother Gann's teaching. Brother Orsel said, did you hear me mention Brother Gann, or did I mention to you Paul in the Bible, Peter, what Peter said, what the Bible said? And they keep their mouth shut. Why did they say this, Brother Gann? Well, he didn't even open his mouth to mention my name. You know why? Because nobody likes me. And I couldn't care if he loved me or not. There are a lot of people that do not like Paul, that's why they want to keep Paul. There are people that don't like Jesus, and that time they want to kill him. Don't you know that? You'll be a martyr because you stand for the truth. In the whole world today, those people that I message who knew, heard about my name, they don't speak good of me. They say, oh, Bergen is against Brother Branham. He speaks, he challenges Brother Branham. He thinks he's smarter than Brother Branham and all these things. No, I'm not smarter than Brother Branham. Neither is Brother Branham smarter than me. Because we are not smart. We're all dependent on the Lord. Brother Branham did his ministry, and I do mine. Paul did his ministry, John did his. And everyone in his own calling. You see, that's a problem people do not understand. Do you know my mind? Certainly you don't. And Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. And I pray that every one of you too have the mind of Christ. Now, here we have this attitude of being holy. You know, the Pharisees, they always have this holier than thou attitude. And I told you, can a person be holier than another person? The thing is, either you're holy or not holy. Only when you talk about things, you can say this thing is cleaner than this thing. But because, you know, structure of the tabernacle of Moses, you have the holiest place, the holy place, right? Yes. And so when the Bible talks about you anoint the most holy, people in the denomination and even anti-message think that Jesus Christ was the most holy, was to be anointed. No. Jesus Christ is called the Holy One of Israel. There's only one standard of holiness. It's to be holy. Can you be holy than holy? What is holy than holy? Take a cup and wash it as clean as you can. And then take another cup and wash 10 times more than the one that you washed the first one. Then the one that you washed 10 times must be cleaner than the first one. Is it so? Huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Take detergent. Put in the sponge and clean and clean and clean. Clean the first cup 2 times. Then the next cup 10 times. You know what? The cup, the second cup is just as clean as the first one. But the problem is your hand will even be cleaner with the detergent. You see, the people do not understand the holy thing. There is no such thing as holy yet. And people are putting bondage on people by talking things like that. There's Pharisees' attitude. So what about the mind? Now, what the mind, your mind? You know, we read about the news report about the trial that's going on right now with CHC. City Harvest Church. And I read the report about this man, Chu. He's one of the 6 accused, right? But you know, what is in his mind? You read what the report of his testimony. You know. Of course, what is in his mind? Can you know? Can you believe? Do you believe that what he's telling is the truth? In some part, I agree. Because he himself confessed that he realized that his conscience was troubling him. There's a manipulation of fun. Right. You see. At least he was the one that read on them. You see, every individual has to give an account to God. I have, when we were reading, when we hear what Brother Peary, Brother Andrew Peary preached last Sunday. I was sitting there, I heard what he preached in the morning, and then after we went for lunch, before we come back for the second session, I had a talk with him on the statement that he made. And then after the afternoon, he thought, continued, and he made a certain statement he made. And I just smiled. But to me, those are not serious things. But I know that when I put it on the website, there will be people that might be very critical. So I did receive, true enough, on Monday morning, an email. Here is the email from a believer in America. My dear brother, I realize that I have been treating you somewhat unfairly. I was counting you to those that are held to the teachings of Brother Brown. That is, until I listened to Brother Peary's recent preaching, Brother Peary is your disciple and has even adopted some of your mannerism, which is okay and normal. Do you think that Brother Peary behaved like me in mannerism? Because when I was sitting there, when he was preaching, and if you were to listen to what Brother Andrew preached, how he preached, he's more like James Verwo. Did you notice that? Yeah. But he said that he has my mannerism. I don't think so. I know in America there are people who ate Brother Branham. How he stands and do all that. And I know a preacher who ate other preacher. I told you one time about that. Stephen Shelley. And there are people who ate him. Preach, preach, preach. As if that you've got the Holy Spirit coming down on him because he's going through a shake, you know. And all this mannerism, it's just imitation. You see? And there are people that I know in anti-message. They hold the Bible wearing a coat like this. Like Brother Abraham's pose. You all remember Brother Abraham a pose like this? I don't know why this is like this, I can't remember. And they will take picture with him just like that. Hey, be yourself. Why you want to copy somebody? Oh, a lot of people today look at the haircut like Elvis Presley. Just Elvis Presley? Yeah. Yeah, they said Elvis Presley is in Singapore. Yeah, it's in Manila and all this. There are all kinds of people they imitate. Yeah, that's fun for them. But then, we are all natural. You are you and I am I. There's no two John here. There's no two Joseph here. Who are you? So he said this. When Brother Peary made the following statement, I realized that you guys, you see how he approaches this issue. It's the same man, he said he's my age. When I told him that Brother Peary is only 31 years old, he's a young man and he's learning. And I said, you are not. Then he told me that he is in my age. And yet he wrote like this. And he believed himself, of course, to be wise, and I believe that he will listen to this message. You know, when you, if you don't agree with somebody, you know, when I listen to a people's message, I don't agree with them, I don't have to write them and approach them like this. If I hear something which kind of puzzles me, I will write and say, "What, brother, what do you mean by this that you say here? Right? Please explain to me." No. He comes in. When Brother Billy make the following statement, I realize that you guys will not follow up the message, even though you were aware of it. One, you and Brother Piri, you see how you're preaching. You and Brother Piri teach that Adam and Eve did not have any law, and they lived completely under grace. Well, Brother Branham said, you see, Brother Branham said, see, he's always quoting Brother Branham. Sure, obviously, what do you expect of Branham not to quote? Brother Branham said, taught that what is in the Bible, which is that God gave them, Adam and Eve, His word. And as long as they kept the law of not eating the fruit in the middle of the garden, they were safe under the protection of the word. I can understand that you guys choose to have a different explanation. After all, you are not Branhamite. Praise the Lord, we are not. I'm so glad that he knows that. And of course, later on he said that we don't follow Brother Branham. He said, you know Brother Branham, that don't mean you follow. See, he doesn't believe that I follow Brother Branham. But I'm not a Branhamite. I follow Paul. I'm not a Paulite. Because I don't stick to one man. I stick to all the volumes of books. Because this volume of books are not written by this man. They were written by the Spirit of the Living God. You see. So what do you say? Okay, continue. He said, number two. That's the first question. The point of Brother Peter made. Okay? Second question. You and Brother Peter teach that the reason God did not destroy Adam as soon as sin was found in him was that God needed time to gather enough evidence, otherwise Michael and Gabriel might wonder what God is trying to hide. To those that believe William Branham, this is utter nonsense and contrary to the word. Now, he said, you and Brother Peter. Now, I mean to say whatever Brother Peter said is what I agree with him. When he brought up Peter, I was sitting when Brother Peter said that statement, I know that that wasn't right. That was just his illustration. But to me, I just smiled. I said, that's not important. But he has to pick fault. Branhamite must pick fault with those who are not Branhamite. And his version of his message is different from the others too. And all Branhamites are fighting me in various camps. The Thunder camp, the Polygamist camp, the Tuso camp, they are attacking me. Even denominations are attacking me. So at least I'm good standing. I'm sure I'm good standing. As long as being attacked, I can be sure I'm in good standing with God. Do you realize that? If you want to satisfy every one of them, say amen to every time you go there. You just say, yeah, I agree with you, brother. Then go to another camp, oh yeah, I agree with you. Tuso, yes, I agree with you. The other one said, no, Tuso, I agree with you. Say amen to everything. After all, they quote Brother Branham and they give their own interpretation, must be correct to them. So you want to make them happy? You want to be in their favor? Say amen to them. I'm serious with this word. Are people spiritual enough to know the truth, or are they in the bondage of their own ideology or their opinion, or because, oh, it's Brother Branham, so say what Brother Branham said? Can they not say what Paul said? This is the same man. When we were preaching, when I was teaching on the three witnesses, he talked to me about the stars. No, no, this is, you know, he goes into all those cultic groups and all those, you know, astrology thing and all that. And I said, didn't Brother Branham mention about it? We know the Bible mentioned about it too. Then he come and tell me, you know, Jesus was born in April, he was born in spring, because Brother Branham said sheep, lamb were born in spring. And when I proved the scripture to him that Christ cannot be born in April, And now you know how I taught then that Jesus was about 30 years old when he was baptized, right? Yes. And then he come and tell me, he said, you know, he said, about 30. Doesn't mean that he's 30. So what is about 30? 30 and a half or 29 and a half? You see the mentality. Please admit the truth. You fear Brother Branham more than you fear the truth of God's word. You know when Brother Branham talks about Lamb was born in springtime. What was on his mind? I don't know. What was he trying to get across? What was in the mind of Brother Andrew Peter when he said that, why did not God then that judged Lucifer? Oh, he wanted to get evidence, right? Or else Michael or Gabriel will be wondering why God do this and that. So that was his, whatever was on his mind, he was trying to get a thought. Right or wrong in that area does not destroy the message at all. When he's talking about overcoming by grace. In which, in fact, I took two emails. A sister from Kenya wrote me, I'm blessed by his message on overcoming. And another one, I can't remember whether it was from India or not. And he himself received two. Also from two different persons. One from the Philippines and one from a young brother over in India. Four people able to say, I'm so blessed because I was into having problem and I listened to you, I was blessed about this. Because these people who listened were not finding fault. You understand what I'm saying? So if people do not want to admit to that, it is sad. And then I wrote back to him, I said, seem to me that you are finding fault with me and everyone associated with me. You find fault with Brother Peter over the word he used or the expression he used to try to carry a thought to the audience. If the expression was not right, hold your peace and stop condemning. I did not, you know what? You know how denomination fought against Brother Branham? Huh? Yes. They finding fault with statements. And even anti-Branham people today in the anti-message who love the truth, like John Collins, John Kenneth, about the cloud. Why are people so taken up with the cloud in the sky, the mysterious cloud? Whether it was not so, why? Why can't they just concentrate on the message? I know the message, they're fighting over this. You see? And Brother Bam said, make a statement that's very true. You want to find fault? You've got the devil will give you plenty to find. That is true now. Isn't it true? Exactly. And I said to him, we all have our expression of words to try and convey what we understood of certain subject of the Bible. We might not always express it, right? I had even discussed with him over some statement he said, so what make you judge to presume that everything he said in this message are twinned with mine? He is an individual and God deals with him as with me. Yes, Brother Peter is my disciple as Timothy was to Paul. But I do not tell him what to preach or to teach. He is a student of the word, not of the courts of Brother Branham. He is independent. And I told him, I said, you have this ugly character about you. To run me down, pick fault with me, and even to say that Brother Peter has my mannerism, really. Go ask him, go listen to James Verumu. And you will notice whose mannerism Brother Peter really has. We guys, he said, you guys, we guys, yes, we guys are not Branham. We guys are faithful enough to dare to study the word of God and learn. If we are wrong, God knows how to correct us to make the recipe of the food right. The Branhamites, on the other hand, are slaves to courts and have no fear to search the scripture to see if those things be true. The Branhamites are sowing another seed. That is not those sown by Brother Branham, nor of the word. I think you should look at your lock, at the lock in your eye. It's still there, and you think that what you see of the straw in the other's brothers and other's eyes is their lock when it is yours. Because you see, sometimes when people come in to me with all these years, if people approached and asked a question nicely, you can deal with it. But immediately he come in, he said to judge. And his reply come back to me, he said, brother, I'm not trying to find fault with you or your associate. No, I'm always very aware of the lock in my eye, such that I'm not trying to single out and any insignificant mode in yours. No. The only concern I have is this. The messages that people preach are seed. And they bring forth after their own kind. As a minister, you should be concerned about what kind of seed is being sown from your pulpit to the lambs of God under your charge. What seed have I been sowing you? Rotten seed? What seed have I been sowing you? And the seed that go out through audio and video and through the book, what seed have I been sowing? People have left blamism. People now in Nigeria and Africa have left because their eyes are open. They say, how come my pastor don't teach this? How come this is true? It's scripture here. You know why? People are put in a state of bondage of fear. Fear that if you don't say exactly what the prophet of God said, you're going to be in trouble. You know what? Something the Bible says, study to show yourself proof unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We try to cut the best we know how to cut as an apprentice of the word of God. As a tailor, learning apprentice of a tailor apprentice, we are learning to cut. If we make a mistake, we learn. And God will help us. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God will teach us and guide us. But if we are fearful, then we are in trouble. And then he said, right there, he said, how do you know some member of your congregation now believe that the reason, how do you know some members of your congregation now believe that the reason God did not destroy Satan right from the start is because he did not want Gabriel or Michael to think he was trying to hide something? How many of you believe that this is true? Such kind of seed, we know how to let it drop. Such kind of seed, as nonsensical as it is, will also bring forth of its kind. And you can bet it will not be from God. It's not from God, then from whom? There are only two possible sources, God and Satan. And this is my main concern. Now in terms of not adhering to the message of Branham, you don't have to follow it at all. That message was sent to only a specific group of people, and you may not belong to that group. And now I ask him, what message of God is, message of Brother Branham is all about? And to this day, many people still refuse to see it. You know, when we print the book, what is the message of our and Brother Nice in Africa is giving out? People read that, they say, I didn't even know that this is just what it is all about. Get out from the system, come back to the Word of God. Look into the Word of God. Brother Branham has said that. Back to Pentecost, back to the original. Back to the absolute, he's pointing to the Bible, not to himself. So why are we still going about the courts? Read Brother Branham's book as you would, as you like. But don't make his book the absolute, because it is not, thus said the Lord, as absolute. Don't make his statement, not like the voice of God. You're still trying to look through all the tape, if there is how many, Brother Branham said, they will put it, the Bible said three, and you put two, there's an error. They must put another error. Why? You know, because the Bible says, say what the text say. It's not I that said, it's what the Spirit said. Did he mean all the words? Every literal words. The common man will think that, and that's where the problem really is. Just know what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. We have Moses with the law, with the prophets. This is what they say. They read it every Sabbath day in the synagogue. And they missed the very one that the word was talking about. When Jesus said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. How many of them missed the truth? Because why? They were looking at the words. They were not looking at and learning as how to hear. That's why the Bible says, he that have a ear to hear, have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God say. Not what just Jesus said with his word like that. What the Spirit of God say. You understand that? I tell you one thing, that the word of God that goes out is a double-edged sword. Once it cut to save, once it cut to destroy. If you know how to hear, it cut to save. If you don't know how to hear, it cut to destroy. Do you know that? Yes. And that's why the Pharisees and people do not know how to hear. Because why? They hear only semantic. They hear, that's a man speaking this word. It means nonsense. He's talking nonsense about the temple. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. Oh. So you see, are you spiritual enough to understand this? Now, he continued to say, that message was sent to only a specific group of people, and you may not belong to that group. That does not make you a bad person, no. Perhaps God has a different program with you. And yesterday I was apologizing for having been grouping you with those to whom the message was sent. I now realize that not everyone who knows about the message belongs to the group God was targeting. You can believe and preach whatever you want to. I only point it out if it is blatantly against the teaching of the Bible, such as saying Adam and Eve did not have any law from God. That is all. Let me ask you right now. Let me just reply to you and then I explain to you. Of course, you're always right as far as you're concerned with what we preach, my brother. The thing that I agree with, you think that I agree with Brother Peary over the point that you mentioned here, which to you was very bad seed sowing. There are things I do not agree with Branham, Luther, Wesley too, because human expression are never perfect. Can you tell me that every statement Brother Branham uttered was perfect and make sense 100%? He never answered. Can anybody tell me that every statement about them said was perfect and make sense? What have you learned from what he said about bones and chicken meat in the pie? Did not mention are picking bones with him in the pie. But the Branhamites are eating those bones and all are getting themselves choked without a scriptural answer to show that those bones are not meat. You know? And then I continue to say another part, let me just... About law. What law was... let me talk about this chicken bone first. Because when you answer it, I'll let you know. You know... Later on, he replied to me, he said, oh, Brother Graham, Brother Graham never said chicken pie, chicken bone, or chicken pie. He says, cherry pie. I know it's cherry pie. So I want to see how he reacts. You see, he's quick to try to correct me too. He said, I told him in Singapore, how many of you eat cherry pie? How many of you eaten cherry pie in Singapore? Have you seen the shop that sells cherry pie? You don't. Cherry pies are common in America. So, Brother Graham, use cherry pie and seeds. I use chicken pie and bones. So what's the problem? Am I saying the wrong thing too? Just because it is seed and not bones? You know, expression is carrying a thought across. You understand? Some people. I don't understand. About law. What law was Brother Peary trying to get across when he talked about grace and law? You know, Brother Peary was talking about grace and law. Okay, now he was saying that there was law given to Adam and Eve. How many of you believe that it is really true that God give Adam and Eve a law? I understood what Brother Peter was saying, but I don't know how many realize. You know, law never exists until law was given. And as Paul said, I don't know anything about sin unless the law exposed me. When I read the law tells me I'm a sinner. Without the law, I don't know. So where was the law given? Mount Sinai. Was there a law given in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes! Thou shalt not eat of that tree. Was there already a law? Was it just something that God said? Do you make that a law? Let me tell you something. What is the law of nature? I wrote to him this. I said, about law. What law was Peter trying to say? Was there already a law given before law was given in Mount Sinai? When we talk about the law of life and the law of death, what do we mean? Do you understand what is the law of nature? What is the law of gravitational pull? What is the law of the land? What is the law of taxation? Certain laws are just law because they are there, not because they are given. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Everybody talk about law is just a word term. Huh? That people think automatic law. Thou shalt not litter. That's a law written there. That you cannot litter, right? That's a law. If you litter, fine, $500. Okay? Yeah. When I get up in the morning, the sun always shines. The sun will shine light. That's the law of the sun. Is there a law? The law will, the sun will automatically shine. Is that not true? Yes or no? You don't have to say it's a law that the law of the sun must shine. It's already there. You plant the seed. The law of nature, the seed must sprout. So is it called a law given? Or the law is already in existence because it's natural? Do you understand what I'm saying? The tree of life, it's a law of life. Of course, you eat of it, you will continue to have life. Now, you are a living being. Right? Now, the law detects that if you don't eat, you will die. Right? So, were you given that law? Or you know that you need to eat? You understand what I'm talking about? And God just reminded, just give this warning to Adam, that tree of life, and that tree of knowledge, don't you eat it. The day you eat it, you surely die. Just like the heat. You know what fire is? We know fire is burning, it's hot. If you put your hand inside that, you will be burned. Isn't that right? True. So you just want to chant, don't touch the fire, you'll burn. Is there a law you're given to the child? Don't put your hand there, you'll burn. It's a law. Don't do it. It's a law. It's not a law, it's natural law there. It's just there. That's what we call the law of nature. That's what this preacher, John Lennox, was saying in the link that I wanted to give to you. 1.5 hours, you need to watch it. Of God and creation, though they mixed. John Lennox was trying to tell how foolish are many of these scientists. He said one time, he went to China. And he was brought to a cave or some place where, you know, this Chinese scientist was showing him on the cave wall, two strokes like this. Huh? Run in Chinese. You know that? Huh? Said the man that started saying, you see, that shows intelligence. That shows then intelligence. It means that it must have a person who is intelligent to write run. Right? You understand? Correct. It takes intelligence. So then he went back to another place and then he went to a lab or something and then he was looking at this. Wow, the strings of DNA. You know those? The DNA, all those, huh? And all the numbers, number. And this time he said, that's natural. That's the law of nature. So that means there's no intelligence. It's just natural. You know? So because they don't believe in the higher power. The run, too strong, that's intelligent. But this number and all this code there, no intelligence needed. It's natural. It's the law of nature. It's there. You see how funny it is about man. How the thinking. So what I find, I tell him, I said, you know, I have denomination that came in to attack the Presbyterian about the one God doctrine, the serpent seed. They come in with strong word. And then they told me that I was following Branham, a false prophet. One who got puffed up and made himself Elijah, etc. They quote me certain statement to show me certain thing that Brother Abraham said that were nonsense, etc. How true? If one wants to find fault, sinner will surely give him plenty to find. Brother Peter is young, 20, 31 years old. He's a learner, a student of the Word of God. Even a few days he stayed with us, I learned of his character, his behavior, and taught him about those things and even about culture and tradition of certain country and how to act proper. And as Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shunned profane and vain babbling, for they were increased into more ungodliness. We'll come to that later. And I said, yeah, we're not afraid to quote the study of the scripture. And we keep ourselves away from profane and vain babbling over quotes of Brother Branham, which you cannot deny that many preachers and believers in the end time message have gone deeper and deeper into ungodliness. You all agree with that? Go and watch in Africa, Philippines, India. They quote and quote Brother Branham, and they babble over it. What happened? They get them saying more ungodliness. And I think Brother Peter wrote to him. And Brother Peter just say a few things and close up with him. Brother James, very moved. Brother Nice, Brother Peter, all these other brothers, Fossal, all this, anybody need their Shadrach, and many more. We are searching up because they're looking to me, and everything that I say, they will say amen. They're social with me because they understand now what the ministry of God is in the fivefold ministry that Paul talks about, in the ascension ministry. We are all working together to get the word of God out in the form that God had given us in this book called the Bible, and which Brother Abraham said we need to come back to it. Not what the tradition is saying, what tradition churches are teaching. And our eyes are open to it. And every one of you are sitting here, and those who are especially from denomination, whether you be Catholic, whether you're Baptist or Pentecostal or Charismatic, or whatever denomination you came from, huh? You know when you read the truth, or you listen to the truth of what Brother Ben preached on tapes or read his book, you realize that that is true. That you need to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because the Bible said so. And you realize that the system is so wrong, so you laugh the system. And you come to the Word of God. Is it not true? And we are not here to try to hold to a system based on what this anti-message churches are teaching upon the quotes. You base upon the quotes of Brother Ben. We are not. We are going into the Bible as what Paul tells us to study. And by doing that, we shouldn't have any fear that, oh, we might make a mistake. You know, God honors us that if we study the Bible with the mind that God has given us. Because after all, now that you are born again, you should have the mind of Christ. Or at least the Holy Spirit to guide you. So, if you are looking at something and it's a mistake, you do not know about it, and somebody tells you it's a mistake and show you how to look at it, that is because the Holy Spirit is guiding you. But if you are studying tradition, doctrine, traditional doctrine, and of course when you study traditional doctrine and you base it on what the pastor say, with all this guideline, you know, teaching in a book, whatever they give it to you, you will never be able to understand the truth. Because few people do. And the same thing for those to stay on Brother Abraham's quote. When they read the quotes of Brother Abraham or the certain statement, and they read the Bible and they know that there is a conflict, they are afraid to move away from the statement of Brother Abraham. That doesn't make sense. It's because, not because that the sermon was wrong, It's because the expression was not quite right. You understand what I'm saying? Brother Abraham was human, and he made mistakes in the expression many times. And just because, well, we are so much into the Bible, he's saying that we're not the target group. The message is only for us. The message is special. We all know broadband message is special. We know the broadband ministry is special. In this generation, sent to us to carry us out from Laodicean confusion. From the Laodicean lukewarmness. To bring us back to the Word of God. That's all there is to it. We're not looking at Brother Abraham's supernatural ministry. We're looking at the Word. There's a problem that I don't major in those things. You cannot major on a minor. The gifts of healing, the gift of prophecy, any of these gifts, they are minor. But what is the major thing in God? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The word that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. If you're not born of the word and born of the spirit, then you are not of his. And the Bible says, there are those that are led by God, by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. So what are people led by? By Brother Abraham's word? By Luther's word? Or by the scripture? Now when I say, are you led by Paul's word? I'm not talking about the scripture. If you were there in the days of Paul, you would have a lot of oral words uttered. If Paul Menentiktet were there in those days, and you take every message that Paul preached, you probably find his expression also sometime out, because he's human. But when it comes to scripture, it is not Paul that wrote it. It is the Spirit of God that guide his hand. Is that right? It is impressed by God. That's why the Bible says all scripture is in breath of God. Not every word that the prophet spoke. Because prophets, they speak certain things of their own will. So Paul said, it is I, not the Lord. In something that he talked about marriage and things like that. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? Or are you caught up in a religiosity? Or are you just being religious? You are either spiritual or religious or being caught up in a spirit of bondage of whatever it may be. If you are not spiritual, then you cannot understand the Word of God. And to be spiritual, you need to immerse yourself in the Word and in the Spirit of God. That is the main thing. Eat of that tree of life and commune, eat of it. Anything that is half truth, which cometh by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is a perversion, and that gives you carnality. You cannot mix the Word of God with tradition. And we know what Brother Abraham said about this Bible. People are trying to interpret what Brother Abraham said by the scripture. You don't do that. The Bible interprets itself. You agree with that? The Bible interprets itself. When you read Brother Abraham's sermon, read it within its own context. If it says something that is not clear, try to find if it is there in the Bible. If it's not there in the Bible, don't let it worry you. As simple as that. Take the chicken. Let the bone drop. Alright? Or take the cherry pie, or pumpkin pie, or melon pie, and let the seed drop. That's the thing you want to eat. We are a lot of things we are still learning. And none of us is perfect. For sure. Amen? Alright, God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace again. We thank you, Father, for truth. There's so much things, O Lord, that we as individuals are facing, O Lord, regarding our own life, the mind that we have. And certainly, Lord, I believe that each and every one of us want to have the mind of Christ in us. We do not know the mind of Christ. But Lord, if Thou would give it to us to get us to understand Your mind in us to know what we need to know. And help us to understand that, Lord, until You open our minds to see Your word of truth. We cannot be spiritual men. We will still be groping with our own flesh and carnal mind, like the Pharisees or like religious people. But I pray, Father, being that here we are a group of people here, and I believe that many of us are saved by Your blood, saved by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that give us the atonement and to have our sins washed away. And by Your Spirit, Lord, You redeem us, You raise up us up from our death, O Lord, of spirit, O Lord, that has been sleeping for a long time without knowing Christ, and our souls, O Lord, now being quickened. We know, Father, that if we are Your children, we can cry unto You as our Father, and knowing that You will guide us truth, Lord, in this our life every day. So teach us Thy word, Lord, teach us Thy word, and guide us. And we pray, Father, that our spirit will yield to Your spirit, knowing that that's what You want us to do, Lord, that You will be able to lead us. And we thank You, Lord, for today. Bless all now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.